Enlarge the place of your tent. Stretch your tent curtains wide. Do not hold back. Lengthen your cords. Strengthen your stakes. Isaiah 54:2. As I began to write out a sermon in response to the special session of General Conference, I must have written 5 different sermons. This was mainly due to my mind and my heart going in so many different directions. As I watched the General Conference, it felt like 2 trains on the same track running full steam into each other. I saw people from both sides of the discussion disrespect, belittle, and demean one another. I read through the hashtag GC2019 Twitter feed, spewing hate from so many, and my heart began to ache. I felt like God in Jeremiah 4, where God looks at the people and states, "Oh, my anguish, I writhe in pain. Oh, the agony of my heart pounds within me." Disaster follows disaster. The whole land lies in ruins. In an instant, my tents are destroyed. My heart continues to grieve for the church that I care for and love, the same church that brought me here and created space for my questions, the same church that showed me a third way of living, the same church that helped me be a more loving, kind, compassionate, and forgiving person. The United Methodist Church that is so near and dear to my heart began to tear itself down at General Conference. On Tuesday, the denomination agreed to affirm the Book of Discipline as it is written and increase the accountability of pastors, churches, and conferences to break those rules. If you want to know more about it, you can speak to Dan Davis or to one of the pastors, and we'd be happy to talk with you about the outcome of General Conference. You can also find information about this through the Florida Conference website at flumc.org. My initial reaction about General Conference was to wait to talk about it, to let the dust settle and speak on it next week. However, the more I sat with the Spirit, the more I felt compelled to speak about the decision. You see, I did not grow up United Methodist. I grew up Nazarene. My grandfather was a Nazarene pastor, and he died when I was 7, and we found a new church to go to across the street. That church was First Baptist Church of Auburndale. I played games upstairs in the children's wing. I won a trophy for memorizing the most Bible verses of Psalm 119. I remember falling asleep in service on my mom's shoulder whenever the preacher spoke for over 45 minutes. I can recall the Bible stories that I learned in that church. David and Goliath, Jonah and the toothless whale, Paul having the fish-like scales over his eyes fall off because Ananias. That church was the first time I was able to see who God was through Scripture. But my parents would often talk about D-I-V-O-R-C-E. They would spell it out so I wouldn't hear. And then they finally acted upon those letters. During that time, I wanted nothing to do with God. A few years later, a friend of mine invited me to a non-denominational church. And that's where God softened the Pharaoh-like heart of mine. I became a born-again Christian and wanted to grow deeper in my faith. So I began to ask questions of my faith. Why do bad things happen to good people? Why would God send down she-bears to maul 42 little boys because they called an old man bald? If that sparks some interest, read 2 Kings 2. Why would God send some people to hell and others to heaven? Why do we pray a sinner's prayer if God's grace is free? Wouldn't that put a price on God's grace? These questions sparked immense interest in my faith. Yet that particular church could not create a space for my wrestling and doubt. So I found the Presbyterian Church. As I got involved in the Presbyterian Church, I met with a youth pastor named Sean Hartzell. He and I would meet once a week to discuss these deep theological matters. We would have honest conversations with each other without judgment. He was able to create a space for me to wrestle with my doubts, struggle with my understanding of God, and gave me permission to walk away from the church entirely. With Sean, I felt no condemnation. He encouraged me to dive into the deep end of the divine pool to see what was at the bottom. So that led me to study religion in college. As I studied religion in undergrad, go Mocs, I began to learn about the purpose of Jesus, how to read the Bible in a different manner, how God expresses grace, and how we may be uncertain when we talk about God. Studying religion led me to the realization that there might be a space for discussion, debate, disputes, and disagreements. I found the church that creates that space, and that best church was the United Methodist Church. Now, my only understanding of the Methodist Church was my very first visit to my step-grandparents' house in Rome, Georgia. I had visited one summer, and we were forced to go into a United Methodist Church. Immediately when I walked in, the musty smell of mildew and mold drenched my nostrils. When we sat down, I noticed that the amount of walkers and wheelchairs were equivalent to the amount of people in the sanctuary. It appeared that was a requirement to get in. The carpet was nothing but the blood red and stretched the entire length of the worship space. When the preacher stood up to preach a word, it felt as if the only words spoken were words from a lullaby. Despite a terrible first impression at the United Methodist Church, the theology of grace and openness led me to become United Methodist. The way the UMC allows holy space for all people, despite the differences, encouraged me to join the denomination. The tent was expanded for me. As I watched General Conference this last week, I had tears streaming down my face. I felt that the denominational tent that gave me curiosity, a home, was shrinking before my eyes. I could feel the space for discussion was diminishing. I sensed the space for disagreement was no longer viable. I felt that the idea of an open tent was becoming a relic. On Sunday evening, the mood of the conference was like a heavy rain cloud over my head. The weight felt like chains on my feet. Despite the chains, I went to a church council meeting. When I got out of my car in the parking lot, I walked towards Wesley Hall, and I saw a couple who have been faithful to Mandarin United Methodist Church for a long time, also about to attend the church council meeting. I went over to them and gave the couple a hug, and as I did, I could feel the chains begin to loosen. When I got to the meeting room, I sat next to a man who helped me get access to visit the hospitals when I started working at Mandarin. I said hi to him and instantly was reminded of his wife and his three sons, who I get to talk to almost every Sunday after the 8:30 service. Instead of saying good morning and shaking my hand and walking away, oftentimes they share with me what's going on with their lives. They share how school is going, how their jobs are treating them, and overall how life is going. After they share, without a doubt, they always ask me, "How am I doing as a pastor? How is my wife? How is married life?" They care for my family just as I care for theirs. And as I straighten up in my chair as the meeting begins, I feel the chains loosen again. During the meeting, we had a missions update from our missions coordinator, Blake Barkowski. She shared with us how Mandarin United Methodist Church is helping students at Crown Point Elementary School not only learn math and reading skills, but most importantly, that their community loves them. The chains loosened again. At the end of the meeting, we were updated about our satellite campus, Longleaf Church, where we will begin meeting weekly worship on Easter Sunday. Pastor Jeff shared how God is working through community events, fresh expressions, and the success of recently throwing a welcome party at V's Pizza. The chains of grief continued to loosen. Of all the places where I thought I would have been released from the chains of sadness and grief, the last place I would have expected it was a church council meeting. Instead, I got to experience the church that created space for me so long ago to learn, to grow, and to express my curiosities be lived out in room 303. I got to experience the compassion and love that brought me to be Methodist. The chains of despair were loosened, and I began to have hints of freedom and hope once again. I want to say a few things. First, to my friends, family, neighbors, coworkers, members of the community, loved ones who are a part of the LGBTQ community, or have friends, family members, or loved ones who identify as LGBTQ. My heart still grieves. I grieve the individuals, couples, and families who feel like they are not welcomed into the church because of their sexual orientation. I grieve the people who feel like they cannot be a part of the United Methodist Church because of the decision made at General Conference is against their moral compass. I grieve those who won't ever enter into a building of the church again because they feel it is a place of hate. I grieve the actions the church portrayed when we treat other people as objects, ideas, and things instead of people made in the image of God. To those who are a part of the LGBTQ community, those who have loved ones who are a part of that community, forgive us as a denomination. We are sorry we have hurt you in the past and currently. We can be better. We will be better. And know you are loved and accepted here at Mandarin United Methodist Church. We do not see you as second-class citizens. We see you as beloved children of God of sacred worth and value. We do not want to change who you are. You are made in the image of God and made good. You are not incompatible with Christian teaching. And we not only welcome you, but we want you and need you to be part of our mission together. You make us better, stronger, and more faithful disciples. The tent of Mandarin United Methodist Church is big enough for you. After General Conference and the decision was made, my heart sank as I immediately thought of the church members who would be directly impacted. What would they think? Am I not welcome into a church? Is my marriage not recognized? How are my children perceived within the church? Am I incompatible with Christian teaching? I had the opportunity to talk with a few individuals, and they shared the stories of their experience at Mandarin United Methodist Church. One person said, "Church is family, and families are messy, right? Regardless of where I sit for a sermon, MUMC will always be family." Another individual said, "People left the church we were at before just because we joined. Yet Mandarin accepts us and is our family. We are not leaving." One person shared their story and said, "I grew up Catholic and went to Catholic grade in high school, and it wasn't until adulthood that I realized how much shame played a part in my actual relationship with God. I went through a period of time when I began to realize I was gay and believed that God did not love me. It was very confusing. I obviously do not believe that anymore and have tried to deal with any shameful emotions head on. But when I read those headlines, I felt a little gut punch. I felt that type of shame for an instant. Our experience at MUMC has been nothing short of wonderful. We have felt welcomed and have felt loved by many, including you, so thank you. We have found a church that is wonderful, and the people are welcoming, and our marriage and our family are recognized. That is love. That is hope. That is belonging. That is the tent expanding. That is Christ. So might we, as Mandarin United Methodist Church, welcome people without shame. Might we invite people into the family with all of the curiosities, doubts, fears, securities, failures, successes, heartaches, joys, pains, loss, and stories of people finding a home. May Mandarin United Methodist Church not only welcome, but want and desire all people who can live in a larger tent. Why? Because the tent is always expanding. Let's pray. God of the stars, the galaxy, and universe, you are a God that is greater than anything we can imagine. If we think of something greater than that, that thought is not God. That's just an idol. Spirit, you are in and through everything that we can see and more. There is nothing that can hold you. When we think we have you figured out, you surprise us and help us see you are greater than that. But God, forgive us when we have acted poorly, when we have chosen to talk poorly about others, where we have tossed the blame, where we have pointed fingers. Help us to go deeper into ourselves and see that you have made us all good. And remind us of the hope. Remind us of the hope that when the chaos of the waters were there at creation, when the waters were tipsy and turny, that your Spirit was there hovering over the waters. In all the messiness, you are present and near. So remind us. Remind us that you are present and near with us this day, and even within this broken thing that we call the church. So might we ever see that your tent is expanding and expanding and expanding to all people. Amen. So we have the opportunity and the privilege and the great joy to celebrate Holy Communion this morning. And whether you've been here once or you've been here a lot of times, you're welcomed at this table. You don't have to be a member of United Methodist Church. You don't have to be a member of this church. You might have your questions, your doubts, your fears, your anxieties, your worries. You might be so upset with God, you want nothing to do with God. That's okay, because God is still present here, and God wants something to do with you. So we invite everybody to this table as we participate in Holy Communion. The way we're going to participate in Holy Communion is you're going to come through these aisles, and you're going to be given a piece of the bread, and you're going to dip the bread into the cup and partake of the elements together. If you have a gluten allergy, you can come to the middle, and I'll be here to administer gluten-free crackers. But remember, everybody is welcomed at this table that Jesus has set before us. So on the night in which Jesus gave himself up for us, he took normal everyday bread, he gave thanks to God, and he broke the bread. And he said, "Take, eat, for this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup, he gave thanks to God and gave it to his disciples and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many and for all people, everyone, everywhere, for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink of this cup, remember me." Let's pray. Holy Spirit, we ask that you would be with us and be upon these gifts of bread and cup. Make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. Make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one to all of the world. And remind us that your tent is expanding and is ever expansive. So make us one with each other, and make us in ministry to everybody who we come into contact with. And be with us in this bread and cup. And might the Spirit be a part of us. And might you teach us something new this day. Amen. So I'm going to invite the communion servers to come forward at this time.
Don't spill it.
The table is set for all people to come and feast at Jesus' heavenly banquet. So come when you feel led.
All right, start. Well, wait. One more round. Didn't seem like you were ready. All right, start this time. You can bring that up a little bit. I get the pulpit.
Let us pray. God, we thank you for this holy mystery in which you've given yourself up for us. We thank you that you always welcome all of us to the table, and that it's a gift that you freely give with no preconceived notions of what we have to do or what we belong or what we look like or what we dress like or what our family systems are like or how our heart is feeling in the particular moment in which we encounter you. It doesn't matter. You welcome us and accept us through the table of grace. And we are so grateful. So help us. Help us continue to expand our tent, to move a tent peg here, a pole here, so that all might be invited to the feast, to the banquet that is under that tent, so that others might see your grace in all that we do.
Be ready to bring your piano volume
so
up when he finishes.
So be with us, Almighty God, and welcome all people. Amen. I'm going to invite you to rise as we sing our closing songs.
Do that one more time, that intro one more time. You go before,
Just a flame.